Atheist Nomads, episode 151, Christian Rock with Shannon Lowe.
The podcast you're about to listen to includes cursing and talking about hoo-haws. Please be advised.
We are the Atheist Nomads, bringing you history, science, politics, religion, and interviews with leaders in the atheist community. Not all those who wander are lost. Welcome to another episode of Atheist Nomads. I am Dustin. Joining me as always is Wesley.
Hello, everybody.
Joining us for today's interview is my lovely wife, Lauren.
Hello, everyone.
And joining us today is our guest, Shannon Lowe from the Order of Elijah Band. We talked about him a couple episodes ago, and he was a Christian rocker who...
Metal.
Yeah. Anyway, who is now has come out as an atheist. Shannon, welcome to Atheist Nomads.
Hey, how's it going, man?
So
let's get this out of the way. What style of music would you play? What, like,
Man, you know, everyone labels us with all these different genres, like, you know, deathcore and metalcore. I think that we're just, you know, like I consider us like an experimental metal band. You know, follow the exact formula that every metal band kind of follows, but we're definitely a heavier band, if you would.
Well, just about every band has their own genre nowadays.
To an extent, yeah.
I don't always do metal, but when I do, it's usually Lords of Acid.
I'm a fan of metal, so I've listened to a little bit of your music, and pretty good, and definitely better than the Christian rock that I listened to when I was a Christian.
There's more than three chords. Hooray!
It was pretty horrifying for me when I just left the church, but still went to see some of the bands that I had really liked. They were all performing in South Bend, Indiana, and I was at the Adventist Seminary in Michigan, just across the border from there. And one of my favorite bands at the time was Cutlass, and they played three of their songs. They all had the same exact tune with the same three chord progression.
Yes.
It was just a different key for each song. And it was like,
key change.
Holy shit. This is the most boring, uninspired music ever.
So it's not as bad as Christian pop, but it's pretty bad.
So I'm glad that you took a little different approach. So tell us a bit about your band and how you got started in the Christian music field.
We've been formed since like 2008. Whenever this band first formed, a few months before that, I had quit another band because I was like on fire for Jesus and I didn't feel like that band was going the direction I wanted it to.
More Jesus!
Yeah. and you know, the deeper I got into the music industry, as far as the Christian music industry side, I realized that it was just as equally as corrupt as the regular music industry. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there's a large focus on marketing and just finding the mighty dollar in the end. There's not much of a difference in between what people would think the music industry compared to what they think the Christian music industry. Only difference is they're selling a fake cure for a fake disease along with it.
So
what got you into the music in the first place?
You know, a long time ago, I was like 10, and they had the first call for like a band for us to go into band. And I didn't go the first few days. I was in a brand new school. My parents had just moved to Grove, Oklahoma. So it was like a big, you know, like culture shock for me. And I remember the girl that I like crushed on every day that I never talked to. And like, you know, she sat across the room. I think she was from Joplin. And I was like, oh, man, I remember having that in common. And she went to band. I was like, oh, I want to go to band because she no longer we went to recess and she didn't go to band anymore. And she wasn't out on recess on the other side of the recess field that I could, you know, watch her. So I was like, I'm going to go to band. I went to band And then that night they had like a thing to buy your musical instrument. And I told my mom, I was like, "Oh, mom, I want to do it so bad. I want to be in band." She's like, "You've dropped down to baseball and basketball and everything else. If I buy you this damn instrument, you're going to stick to it."
Yeah.
So we went there, and I was really stubborn. I wanted a saxophone, which was one of the more expensive ones. And so she got me the damn sax. And then guess who dropped out of band the next day?
Oh, my God.
Man, the girl was gone. And I was like stuck there with this instrument. And then I hated it. I was like, ah.
Okay, quick question, though. Whatever happened to the saxophone?
That saxophone, not really a really awesome story. Whenever I used to be in drugs, I think I pawned it for drugs, honestly.
Okay.
But I can still play saxophone. Yeah, I don't do drugs anymore. We're talking like over a decade
That's
ago.
That's wicked awesome, though.
I think that the weird thing about saxophone is, still yet to this day, whenever I'm reading sheet music or something like that, if it's in treble clef, as I recognize the notes, I'm like fingering it on the saxophone in my head.
That's
just
awesome.
I'm like, oh yeah, F.
I do the same.
So were you raised religious?
Kind of. My family wasn't super religious, but they sent me to church. They believed. I was kind of not a badly broken home, but I mean, my parents argued the majority of my childhood. And I would go to church on a church bus. And I didn't really get too much out of anything like that until I'd say I was 20. I think I was 20, 19 or 20, whenever I really started like learning about Christianity and stuff like that. So I was kind of a late bloomer.
Okay.
I mean,
so you
I
got
was exposed to it.
You got into it at the point that most kids are starting to drift away.
Yeah, this is true. I think that I have probably had to do with where I was from. I was in Grove, Oklahoma at the time. And I mean, like, I live in Joplin now, which is a part of the Bible Belt, but mm-hmm. over in Oklahoma, it's like, that's just what every two blocks there's a church, and they're packed, and they're most of them, at least back then, was a lot more like, traditional type churches and stuff, mm-hmm. where these days it seems like you can't keep up with the market unless you're moving towards a non-denominational where you kind of work with, if they don't have the screens in the background with like a laser show, your church probably don't have more than 30
mega churches.
Yeah.
Okay. So it sounds like you completely missed Striper, which is too bad.
Yeah. That was a little bit before my time. I was in the Def Leppard and Bon Jovi back then.
Okay. And you mentioned, a period where you were into drugs. Was that before your coming to Jesus?
Well, that was during Jesus.
During? Okay.
a little bit before, definitely before. I had a time where I was really into some hardcore drugs, in my early 20s and stuff like that. I got part of this band, and I was the only Christian member. Whenever I joined the band, I was like super Christian. And it was like shortly after I'd been baptized. And then the band, we didn't get real big, but we did some touring, and we just felt like we wanted to be rock stars so bad. And,
mm-hmm.
So we just kind of lived like a life of just drinking and sex and drugs and stuff like that. And then, I was in another band that was a little bit more serious, and I was backing out of all of that, all of the drugs, and I actually quit for about 5 years. And then at the time, my wife, she turned 21, and we were married. And so, I felt really like an idiot that I couldn't have a few beers with her whenever she wanted to drink. So that's kind of where it started back up again. And then after we got a divorce, and I mean, I just plummeted into alcoholism and was just like hammering whiskey every night. And I know everyone's got different reasons. I don't, I don't divinely credit atheism for anything like that, you know, but I think the mental aspect of, you know, somewhat enlightenment from, you know, being able to shed religion like that was definitely some of the motivation and the power it gave me, you know, mentally to be able to overcome that. And, which, you know, I've had people try to tell me, they're like, well, you don't know it, but God was really there doing that and stuff like that. And I'm like, look, I believe that, you know, maybe AA works for some people, but I mean, it is a psychological battle to overcome addiction. Mm-hmm. A lot of us are born genetically weak to certain addictions, you know, depending on your family history or how you were brought up, you know. So it's a psychological war for all of us. I mean,
oh yeah.
So, you know, I don't credit God, but I mean, I will say that, but releasing religion is what gave me the motivation to not only give up alcohol, but to get into college and pursue healthcare and all this other stuff, just because I was like, science is badass.
Well, science is badass. We
it is.
Tend to do that. But yeah. I think shedding the religion probably made you just a stronger individual. Like maybe you felt more of like a whole person that you could just easier to control too when you don't have this otherworldly thing to that you're always bowing to.
Hey Shannon, did you ever get into AA?
No, my dad did some AA programs whenever I was younger, and yeah. I remember getting there. But even every time I've really overcome something like that, I feel like I've done it myself. I really haven't used like a group or anything. Hey guys,
Do it.
All right. And so we will take our first break now while Shannon goes take care of his kid.
Atheist Nomads is proudly brought to you by Archway Hosting. Check out their low-price, full-featured hosting solutions at archwayhosting.com. That's ARCHWAY hosting.com.
Hey, we're also brought to you by listeners just like you. Find out how you can become a patron at patreon.com/atheistnomads. That's patreon.com/atheistnomads.
We were thinking you could bring your 4-year-old on and we could ask her about all of your new friends that you're making and how fun that would be. But no.
Her answers will be pretty chaotic. She might just start telling you about like Monster High or something instead. She's in there eating right now, so maybe after she eats I'll bring her in before a nap.
All right, like that. Go ahead and get started.
Yes,
then.
So all right, so you're definitely making it sound like it was you losing your religion and getting off the drugs and alcohol was at about the same time. Is that correct?
I was probably heavily into alcoholism for like about half a year after I began giving up religion.
Okay.
I think I was calling myself an agnostic about the time that I quit drinking, and I started reading a lot whenever I quit drinking, and that it was slowly after that that I decided that, you know, that I didn't qualify under the agnostic title.
All right. So what you were, when you're in the Christian music sphere, obviously you are, you know, that's in pretty deep, not necessarily the same as with a pastor, but pretty deep into the Christian culture. What would you say were the steps specifically on the religion side that led you out?
Well, for a while, I mean, I considered the band a ministry for a while. And then whenever I was part of a church here in Joplin for a while, I was on the worship team. I played guitar, and then I was a leader in a teenage group. And that kind of fell apart. And I still believed for a while after that, but I returned to that church And I wasn't really part of the staff again, but I was just going. And it was a church sermon that I went to where they were discussing Elisha and the bears whenever Elisha cursed the kids in the name of God, and a couple bears came out and ripped them apart.
Yeah,
and I'd heard that story, but I had overlooked it, you know. And after I heard that, I went home and I looked it up. And I started looking online.
You're like, no, that can't be right.
Like, yeah, I was like, man, that, so, of course, you know, with as many secular or, you know, atheistic type sites that are out there, as soon as you Google some of that shit, you know, I remember I was looking up at it and I was reading apologetics, and apologetics are like sometimes there's just too many of them. Even if it kind of makes sense, you're like, well, there's another excuse over here. That's the, at eventually you're like, you guys are searching for excuses to justify, you know, children getting hit into the ground, you know, and pride. You know, I cannot find where a God would, you know, be proud of a people that brutally murders infants, and I don't need any justification from a counselor or you know, any expert. It doesn't take an expert on ethics to be able to realize that those stories are brutally just unethical.
Oh yeah,
and I believe it was whenever I started the only answers that really made sense to me was found in shit like the Skeptic's Annotated Bible and things like that, because you're reading through these stories, and of course, once you know, you stumble upon that thought process, and all it takes is one, because you as a Christian, it's not like you haven't heard horrible stories. You've heard horrible stories in the Bible, and but you reconcile, and then it just eventually, you know, it's like, oh yeah, this dude murdered his virgin daughter in exchange for victory in a war. It's like, I don't know what it is about human sacrifice that the God of Abraham has an obsession with. But
yeah, that should get this dick hard. I don't know.
Something about that's blood crazy. Sacrifice. It goes all the way back to like eruptions into volcanoes and shit like that. It just seems like stems off of that.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of ironic that your band is the Order of Elijah.
Yeah.
And it was the story of Elisha, that his servant who helped lead you away from Christianity.
Right? Yeah, I guess he took a good step in it. You know, the story of Elijah is pretty mythological if you think about it. You know, the riding into heaven on chariots of fire. I mean, that just sounds like some Achilles shit.
Yeah, that's right out of Greek right there. That's...
Yeah, that's straight Greek mythology. And I really think that the name Elijah still fits us, honestly. We had a lot of Christians get really upset. They wanted us to change our name.
Oh.
And I was, you know,
somebody's going to get upset about something.
You know, it's like, you know, you can think of like other metal bands named Lamb of God.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah. Black Sabbath.
They're not Christian at all.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, hang on just a second. Okay. I'm sorry.
Daddy!
That shit escalated quick. That's funny.
Doesn't take long.
And our dogs do the same thing.
Bark! Bark! Yip, yip,
yip, yip. Yeah.
Oh, up my nose.
So, all right. So, how
I apologize for having to toggle. Back
no, no problem.
It's all good.
So, okay.
We're having a chuckle.
By and large, how have the fans taken this process? Because you took the band's officially secular first, right?
Oh, nice.
Oh, now we're
yeah,
in
that was
vape
my
talk.
First goal was to step us away.
Yeah, I mean, you dropped a whole label, right?
No, my goal was to step away from the Christian title, and we did that in 2015 about the time that I really kind of shed the whole faith and stuff. I went to the guys. I was like, hey, I don't think we should be called a Christian band anymore. mean, you guys, they were with me. They kept up with all of it, so they knew where I was going, you know, with mm-hmm. my whole philosophy inside and stuff. So they were excited. They're like, oh, finally, Shannon. You know, they're like, we're totally down to do that. And
they're like, great, I have somebody on speed dial. Hold on.
So whenever I announced that I did it in an interview, it didn't go over the way I thought it would. It really didn't separate us from the Christian community very much at all. I mean, I couldn't even take a stance for like LGBT rights without just getting completely bombarded with, I mean, you know how it goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And, I remember just thinking, I was putting up some memes, trying to ward them away. I was like, I need to get some of these fundamentalists out of here because our fan list is just chock full of them. Because, and it mainly comes from, we were part of a Christian label for a few years. And I think that's where a lot of them come from. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of them, but that's a very fundamentalist label. Yeah, Zoe.
Zoe is a cute name.
Mm-hmm. That is a good name.
You need to finish your French meatballs first.
But I want a cookie. Dude, I get it, you know?
Uh-huh. All right, what you got? All right, sorry.
I feel for him.
It's all good.
It's like, I don't want meatballs anymore. I know there's something better out there than meatball. I think it's a cookie or a watermelon or something.
That's probably the truth.
Oh, man. A little bit of salt on my watermelon, I'm good.
It's that time of year, isn't it?
So, all right, so you're trying to get rid of some of the more fundamentalist fans. How'd that work out?
It was just making our page really negative. whenever I put up the testimony that Friendly Atheist picked up, I was actually responding to a fan with that, and he had hit me up. I was getting a lot of mean shit, and then this one dude hit me up, and he's a Christian. He's like, hey man, he was just really polite, and his approach was really genuine, and he just asked me, and he's like, what happened? I know that something happened. And he's like, I'm not judging you no matter what the story is. I was like, hang on, I'll respond in a few days whenever I got time, and I did. Sitting there typing it up, and I just decided to make it public. And then, I mean, ever since then, it's definitely been a big step away. Whenever I typed it up, I did not expect the positive reaction that we had. It's made me, for one, really happy I did, because the response we got from the atheist community has just been really awesome. There's been a few of them that, you know, just don't dig the music and stuff like that, and they kind of see it as a joke. But for the most part, I've literally went through hundreds of messages of new fans, people that went through the same thing, people telling me their testimony. Now, I would say that our old fans, it's kind of a black and white thing. Either they're just right there with us and they don't give a shit, and you know, they're like, I love the music, I don't care what you guys do, whatever, mm-hmm. you know, you beat you. And then you have the other half who I honestly don't know why they won't go away. we post our music, they'll talk shit on the music. They talk that like songs that they used to think was great. Now they're up in there saying that it's horrible guitars. And I mean, they're just making fun of anything on it they can. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, why do you follow us? It's almost like they're a glutton for punishment. And, you know, since, the past few weeks, I'll put up, more of an atheistic type meme. I put up some Ricky Gervais type stuff. Mm-hmm.
And, Ricky Gervais.
Boy, they don't even know how to handle that. They're like, ah! Okay, hang on.
I think that's about good for a break.
We love hearing from our listeners. You can email us at contact@atheistnomads.com, tweet us @atheistnomads, send us a message on our Facebook page at facebook.com/atheistnomads, or better yet, call us and leave us a message at 541-203-0666. We might even play it on the show. You can also help us out by leaving us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcast directory of choice.
You know, the loudest people out there, though.
No, on what I was saying a while ago, One of the things we have heard a lot of is, you know, whenever I do post something that's kind of a challenging challenge, is just the philosophy of Christianity, they get so upset, and they often say, like, hey, we get it, we understand that you do that, you believe this now, but you should let people believe what they want to believe. And it just, you know,
you got to rub it in their face.
I'm like, that is the most hypocritical thing a Christian could possibly say,
mm-hmm.
because it is the great commission of Jesus Christ to go out and change people's minds,
yep.
and make them converts. It says angels will sing in heaven for every sinner that prays to God. So for them to say, like, why are you trying to change the way people think? It's like, well, I'm not even trying to. For one, I'm not out there knocking on doors. I put up a few, like, kind of humorous memes. And I'm not putting up, like, you know, I've seen some crazy memes like Muhammad and Jesus fucking each other, just horrible blasphemous stuff. I'm not doing nothing like that, you know.
Don't look on my page then.
Well,
no, I mean, I'm part of some groups that share that and stuff, but. Yeah. It's just funny that the victim card that they play.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. See, but the yep.
Dad.
Mom.
Oh, seriously, it's so cute.
I love Family Guy.
We used to do that with. I used to call it the mommy look, where I'd say, "Hey, mom, look at me," and she's like, "Uh huh." Like, you're obviously not looking.
Oh, no.
And I was, mom. She's really? Like, what? And I'm like, look at me.
See, if I did that, I'd get smacked. I know this.
Oh. So, like, one thing I definitely have experienced, because I'm still friends with a lot of people I went to Christian high schools and colleges with, and people who are now pastors that I'd gone to the seminary with. And what was interesting was... probably about a year and a half ago or so, I posted something on Facebook that I was going to be cleaning up my friends list, because I'd been getting into debates that were really not fun, just long dragged out arguments with other former Adventists, now atheists, that were having these debates. And there was several who were still Christian who were like, wait, please don't unfriend me. I really like seeing other perspectives.
Aww.
And you may be getting a bit of that with some of your fans that just won't leave. They want to see that other perspective.
Some of them are doing that. Some people even told me, they're like, I appreciate what you guys are doing. And some of them even told me, they're like, hey, I see the humor in it, you know. But, you know, some people just take things so seriously. It's coincidentally the same people that are just waving a big flag against political correctness and...
Mm-hmm.
Same people that are out there just throwing stones left and right at other people.
I think that some of the loudest people out there are probably some of the ones with the biggest doubts. And, you know, you used to be this awesome point of light for them, but now you're like, hey, I can't follow that anymore. And they're like, what the fuck just happened? And, you know, you just kind of pulled the chair out from under them. So I understand some rage, but... You know, some of them are just asses, man. Yeah, yeah. You have a serious opportunity here to, you know, be another person to look up to for some of your old fans, and, you know, bring them along, perhaps, you know, or at least just to show them that, you know, atheists can be good people as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you sticking with the same style of music?
Yeah.
I was going to say, because it is kind of funny that one of the most unchristian types of music is considered death metal or something along those lines. There you guys are. You're really trying to, you're like, yeah, we're the good guys. We're Christian death metal. And then it was like, oh, not so much anymore.
Well, you know, in this hardcore type genre that's going on, there's a lot of Christian bands like Fit for a King, For Today, Devil Wears Prada, a lot of these bands. And the message behind it tends to, you know, they try to have like an aggressive undertone as far as the mm-hmm. way the lyrics are comprised. So that appeals to, you know, just the metalhead, I guess, is what they're trying to do there. But then, you know, if you delve into the meaning of the lyrics, you know, maybe they could be talking about, you know, anything, something about Jesus and stuff like that. There's definitely a marketing to it, even in the way you write, the way that these guys write. There's a formula to it, and they are. I'm not doubting that some of these guys are writing from their heart, but you know, you can only be like, talk mean and be like, damn, you're to glorify Jesus like, so many times until people are like, you know, it's repeating itself eventually. There's a lot of big issues going on in life, and religion is not keeping up with the mm-hmm. answers. Religion does not hold the answers to our economic problems, to our cultural problems, to our segregation problems. It doesn't hold the answer to any of this. A lot of the books I've read has credited religion to a part of our evolution, to where religion played a part in our evolution. Like those who had the better evolution, I mean, the better religion perhaps survived more than someone else that had a shittier religion.
And,
right.
Religious Darwinism.
We're just coming to a time where we don't need that. So it's almost like religion is kind of like the appendix of our body. We're like, man. We're like, well, this doesn't do a goddamn thing other than blow up sometimes and kill us.
Yeah.
I mean, like, there was a time in the future where it had a role, and it was, you know, I could see, you know, why, you know, somebody
poor little appendix gets no respect. Murdering.
Come here.
So you mentioned that you read a lot.
Here.
What kind of things were you reading?
I read a lot of Sam Harris, other than The God Delusion.
God Delusion.
I really liked his book, Waking Up. And by the time I read Waking Up, I was already an atheist. So I was kind of like going through this reprogramming process with my head, because like I would find myself just automatically praying sometimes. And then I'd just like stop and look up and I'd be like, yeah, I don't even know who the fuck you are no more. And so I think that book kind of really helped me find kind of like a spirituality. I don't know if you're familiar with Sam Harris, but he's obsessed mm-hmm. with atheist spirituality. And at the same time, I'm not quite as passionate as Sam is about it, but it really did help me like calm down and quit being so freaked out about like, what's going on? And I think that was another thing that got me into science and stuff like that. You know, I just felt like after I gave up religion, I remember I watched Cosmos. And after I watched Cosmos, I thought, I'm a dumb motherfucker, man. I've never learned about any of this stuff, just because as a Christian, no, I mean, not all of them, but you have a tendency of just being like, I don't need to know about that. God created it. God's in mm-hmm. charge of this. You know? And, whenever you get to looking into science, it's actually really fascinating, and it's really amazing. Hang on, guys.
Sure. All right.
And we'll go ahead and take our last break.
If you like the show, consider giving us some financial support. We make it really easy with one-time donations, or to support us on a per-episode, monthly, or even annual basis using PayPal or Patreon. Find out more at atheistnomads.com. Use the links on the right side of the page. $1 an episode is all we ask. Please, think of the kittens.
Oh, the kittens. The problem with kittens is they turn into cats.
So, Shannon, do I see a 420 on your hand?
Oh, no, it's just a 20. I've got a lot of...
Well, it looks like on the top of your hand, it says 420 on a clock.
Oh, no, it just looks that way. It's actually 520. That's what time Zoe was born.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
Yeah, it does look like 420. I've had people like ask me that many times.
They're like, oh, it's about time to light up, man. And you're like, no.
Yeah, I noticed like you have the clock up on your shoulder too. Got a thing for time.
Yeah. Yeah, time's taken away. A lot of my tattoos need to be finished, but whenever I let go of my religion, I remember it was a few weeks later, and I looked down, and like this arm here has got Greek scripture from 2 Corinthians and Matthew. And okay, hang on. I just kind of looked down and I was like, oh my gosh, what are you going to do now? You
know? You're like, shoot, I have a whole sleeve. Zombie Jesus.
Zombie Jesus. I got his mom too.
Zombie Jesus.
Yeah.
That's what Easter's all about, right?
Nice.
Yeah, I only have one tattoo. This shirt will come up far enough.
Oh, God. Oh, you're white.
Yeah. It's the
he's red. He's freckled.
Atheist symbol. I got that for the 5th anniversary of me leaving the church.
I got that right here.
Oh, nice. See, I like that version better. That's way cooler. Like, I mean, they're both
that
awesome.
That was my, like...
your rebranding?
I was like, I got all these religious tattoos, and someone was like, what if you decide not to be an atheist? Because when you got those tattoos, you were like... And I was like, you know what? I think at this point in time, I've made enough bad decisions.
you're like, know what? Just put it all down. Put it down.
It reflects this time alive. And I look back, like somebody was like, well, maybe you could get all your religious tattoos removed. I was like, what? I'm not going to do that because that was who I was back then. And like, I think that
that'd be a lie if you took them off.
That and they look really cool.
And it goes for a good conversation starter, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, if you tried to even take them off or cover them up, I mean, that'd be not being honest with who you are or who you were. You know, that's a part of your life. You just got to own it.
Yeah. I'm not tatted. I'm boring.
It's okay. I just got denied a radiology program at my college because of my tattoos.
Oh, right.
I thought I'd be able to get in there, but the school here at MSSU doesn't allow tattoos, visible tattoos. But they said it was due to clinicals. They said I couldn't get in for clinicals, but ironically, I'm going to be able to go into the surgical technology program, and there's no problem with clinicals. So,
wow.
Yeah, I would almost encourage you to fight that, but surgical techs is actually, that's pretty sweet. That's a pretty sweet thing to do. Not as cool as radiology. I'm big into MRIs.
I did get a hold of the dean, and I had a sit down with them, and they just kind of gave me the same story. And I had the Joplin Globe, the newspaper, contact me here in town, and they were wanting to follow up, and I didn't really want to blast the college that I go to publicly in our hometown newspaper. I thought about it. I was really upset there for a while. And perhaps if I wouldn't have found surgical technology, I'd still be a little sour. But whenever I spoke with that girl, she told me I could get in. I was so happy. I was like in tears because I've put a lot of classes towards healthcare, and to tell me that I can't even do anything in healthcare. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what I'm passionate about. That's what the best thing the schools offer. They don't have like no space program over here in Joplin, Missouri or anything. Sure. So
no, healthcare is awesome. It's going to be a struggle because there is going to be a lot of religious influences on it. You can't not work at a hospital that's owned by a church or something. So it's tough, but so worth it. The human body is just amazing.
Yeah, that is one thing I have learned. It's pretty crazy, the stuff I learned in anatomy and physiology and stuff. That it's really awesome that it came right after this transition. You know, I think that it just maximized my excitement to learn, you know, about all that kind of stuff.
That's awesome, because once you start to look at the human body really in depth, you're like, no God would do this. This is cruel and unusual punishment.
Yeah.
Now there's some weird things about the human body that make absolutely no sense. There's this one nerve that runs from fish. It runs from your brain to your face. And it's only connected about that far from the brain to the face. Mm-hmm. And as we've evolved and we've gotten this neck, it's kind of did this dip down into us, and it comes back up our neck. And they were wondering if that kind of defect happened in other creatures, and they took a, it was a Richard Dawkins video actually, and they dissected a whole giraffe.
The giraffe, I remember that. The vagus nerve?
That thing went all the way down that giraffe's neck.
Holy shit. Like,
damn, that's
pretty cool.
I think it was
design at all.
It was like a 22-foot long nerve.
Yeah.
And you know, I worked in blood plasma for a while, and I got to deal with people having hypotensive reactions, also known as vasovagal reactions. And that's that damn vagus nerve. It can cause all kinds of problems.
Yeah,
Dawkins is cool, and I love the science, but
about all that stuff. This semester was filled up with a lot of like microscopic biology, and we learned from the cellular up.
Nice, that's the way you really get to understand it, starting at the lowest level.
Dawkins was always cool, and I love the science. But I'm more of a Hitchens guy. I love the verbal smackdowns.
Yeah, I dig some Hitchens a lot. Hitchens just had a way for being able to expose the God of Abraham for what he really is, and on any particular matter, and he never failed to point out the shittiness of that God, you know.
Oh yeah,
and so much stuff overlooked.
He also had this amazing technique that whenever he was going to say something, he would like take a breath right after saying like and or if or something like that. So that you're like, okay, and this, and then keep on going. So you didn't have really a chance to interrupt him. You just like keep on going. It's like fucking freight train your ass. But oh man, yeah, seriously, that guy was the best orator I've heard in ages.
He kind of began the whole movement of new atheism, I believe. I'm sure there was someone before him, but
it pretty much was Dawkins, Dennett, Harris, and Hitchens.
Mm-hmm.
But as I recall, Ian Hersey Ali was supposed to be part of that also, be a fifth horseman. So called him the Four Horsemen for a while. But yeah, she just wasn't able to be a part of that, which is too bad. But
yeah, and there were a few others earlier, but the books didn't make it onto the bestseller lists, and didn't really help launch the movement as we know it.
True.
Yeah, Dennett's cool. He's just really dry as fuck.
I think that science is one of the biggest enemies towards religion. Science has only been around for like true science has only been around for like 150 years, since the rise of science, I mean, like, if you really think about the timeline of religion, if religion has existed for this long, science has existed for this long.
Yep.
And it's done a number. If science was dropping nuclear bombs, religion would be, you know, I guess science does kind of literally drop nuclear bombs, but that's one of the things that, that is one of the weirdest arguments I've had thrown at me by Christians. Who are like, you think science is so great? It made nuclear bombs. And I'm like, oh yeah. I mean, what is this? Doesn't make your God any more true.
Yeah. And religion made the jihadists,
suicide bombers,
and the Spanish Inquisition, 30 years war that destroyed a third of Germany's population, crusades. You go through the list and, yeah, religion's done its share.
Hi.
Hey. Tell them your name. What's your name?
Zoe.
Hi, Zoe.
I'm
Wes.
You are the youngest guest we've had on the show. So welcome to Atheist Nomads.
Yay. Heck yeah.
Wait, don't touch any of this stuff. I got a nap here pretty soon. I think we're going to go to the carnival tonight.
Alrighty.
What? You're lucky. Go to the carnival. Man. Okay, I'm jealous. You got a cool dad.
Yeah, just one of those little rinky-dink carnivals that come through sometimes, but...
Oh, hey.
Nice.
She likes them.
Heck yeah. All right, man. This has actually been fun. I'm glad we finally got a chance to talk with you.
Yep. Yeah, thank you so much for joining us.
I apologize again for jumping off and on. I expected to kind of have her down for a nap by the time I sat down and talked and stuff, and our day has been crazy. My internet wasn't working that well earlier and stuff.
No worries.
All right.
All right.
Yeah. We don't do the 15-minute interview thing, so, hey, it's all good. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. And, hang in there, and hopefully everything keeps going well for you. Sounds like you're off to a good start.
Also, do you have anything to...
I really appreciate you guys having me on, too. I mean, we've got some tours coming up. We're
definitely, you got something to market.
Colorado and Michigan and California and like New Mexico and stuff. So if we come near you guys or something, you guys should try to come out and see one of the shows.
Oh, yeah. Is Idaho or Washington on the list?
No, we're going to... I think the closest to Idaho would be Michigan.
Would be where?
Illinois, Michigan.
But that's probably still pretty far for you.
From Idaho, that's about a 2-day drive.
Yeah.
Long 2-day drive. Colorado is a day and a half.
Tell you what, Shannon, what have you got to market? Give us some info, links, sites, anything like that.
Well, you can find the Order of Elijah on all the social networks. We're the only Order of Elijah out there.
And, nice.
So if you Google us, lean back. If you Google us or get on YouTube or something, you'll be able to find us. We've got a lot of lyric videos if you can't understand the lyrics.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I understand that not everyone's into it, so maybe, you know, if you know a metalhead nephew or something that, you know, might enjoy it. I think that our last album was written in the time that I became an atheist. So, you know, there's this last album was written kind of in a – it's called War at Heart, so, I mean, that's kind of exactly what it's about. There's some songs written during the transition and some written like after I'd completely given up religion.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I hate saying I lost my faith. I think it was Friendly Atheist said that. He's like, atheists need to quit saying you lost faith because that makes it sound like you lose something. He's like, you actually gained something. And, you know, I like to say that I shed my faith, you know, because it's just a process I think everybody has got the ability to come out of. I know that our next albums are probably not going to be quite as liked as from the Christian community, but I think the atheist, the community will be able to relate with us pretty well.
Yeah.
Nice. Don't touch my inhalers.
Yeah, there's another musician I really want to talk to pretty soon. His name's David Bazan. He's more of an indie artist, but he was really big in like Pedro the Lion and a few other Christian bands in the past, but he's made a hell of a transition over the last couple of years like you have.
So, nice.
Definitely not your sound, but yeah. if you want to hear some progression of you know, his path as well, I mean, he's a really good guy to look up.
Very cool.
Nice. I'll check.
Anyways, yeah, again, thanks a bunch.
Yep.
And we'll let you know when this is coming out. It's going to be a couple of weeks because we're trying to Dustin's going on one out of touch for a while.
Yep. All right, we'll have a lot of fun at the carnival. And thank you both for joining us.
Bye, Zoe.
Bye.
Hey,
bye.
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 I really appreciate it. And let me know, and I'll get it up on our Twitter and all that kind of stuff, too.
Oh, yeah, sweet. I got to do your plugs.
Yep. Awesome.
Okay, man. Hey, thanks again, guys.
Before we close out, I do want to announce something that we've been talking about a bit. September, we're going to be doing a 12-hour stream-a-thon.
We'll be
raising money for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Light the Night, trying to help fight blood cancers. And there'll be lots of drinking. Wesley and I haven't talked all the details, just that it will happen. I'm starting to think
we'll have some unannounced guests on there.
Yep. And I'm thinking of a fundraising drinking game.
Oh, God. For 12 hours?
Yep.
I'm going to have the worst case of beer shits ever.
Depends on the game.
Something like every $200 for, or $20 for the first $200 have to have a beer, then every 50 after that.
Oh, God.
That's...
Fuck.
For 12 hours, you got to make sure there's enough... You have it at a frequency that you can actually keep a buzz going.
True.
Oh, God.
Or, okay,
so some asshole's just going to give like $100 and make us fucking chug.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm hoping for.
This is sounding less fun.
We have to do this on Saturday so I can get all my...
Yep, it will be a Saturday. It'll be in September after it starts cooling down a little bit and right before Light the Night.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, this will be a lot of fun. So, listeners, watch out for the details. Because it's coming.
So, listeners, if you want to give Wesley the beer shits, you know, you can donate a lot of money.
Keep tuned.
And Wesley, you don't have to partake in the drinking.
Oh, yes,
this will be for.
It'll just be Sprite all up in his mouth.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be a squirt. Thank you.
I'm sorry. Squirt is so much better.
Alrighty. And we'll be back next.
Yes! I don't know anybody else who drinks that.
I have on occasion.
Well, yeah, like in the 90s.
Squirt's all right. Regular squirt's good, but Ruby Red's okay. But,
oh, yeah, well, Ruby Red.
It's probably been 5 years or so since I've had squirt.
Ruby Red, that used to be like the special treat in our family.
Ruby Red's good, but I like just plain old original. Yeah.
I like Sprite. It mixes with stuff well, too. I can make my wine spritzers.
Such a squirt. Fucking vodka all up in this.
All up in your mouth.
All up in your mouth.
All right. Well, we will be back next week with news.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Atheist Nomads. You can find show notes and contact information at atheistnomads.com. Follow us on Twitter at Atheist Nomads. And like us on Facebook at facebook.com/atheistnomads. Please subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcatcher of choice. And while you're there, feel free to leave us a review. Theme music is courtesy of Sturdy Fred. Until next time, this has been the Atheist Nomads.